Anti-abortion rights activists are in Washington today for the annual March for Life, and they hope that this will be their final protest before the U.S. Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, the landmark decision that legalized abortion rights in 1973. In the 1960s, Laura Kaplan was a member of an underground abortion counseling service in Chicago known as Jane, which helped women in unwanted pregnancies. She wrote about this time in her book, The Story of Jane. Robin Young spoke with her in 2019.
And Laura, none of you were doctors, so what did you do?
None of us were doctors, and every once in a while a woman had an illegal abortion, and she died from it. And we'd seen the pictures of the crumpled bodies in alleyways. So groups of women in various places decided, well, they would figure out who were the good providers in their areas, the competent people, because some of the abortion providers were very good. But there was no way for an average woman to know what you were going to encounter. Preparing women for the abortion, you know, in terms of what to expect, helping women come up with the money, and then following up with the women afterwards. And that's how we who were in the service, as we refer to it, that's how we started. But we didn't end that way.
No, you decided what?
The original members of the group realized pretty quickly that if they were sending women off someplace and saying, you know, the best they could say is everybody's come back alive, that that wasn't doing much of a service. And so they determined pretty early on to try to get control of the abortion process. And they did find one doctor who said that he would work fairly closely with them. And at some point, he started training first one and then a couple of the women in the group. So we wound up being totally woman-run organization that provided counseling, supportive services, and the abortions themselves. Yeah. And we did DNC abortions and induced miscarriages.
And when, to give another sense of the day, you spoke to many women who had abortions in that time. One woman was turned away from a doctor she felt she desperately needed to end a pregnancy because she had cancer and couldn't get it. What were some of the stories that you heard with the women that you met that needed, felt they needed to do this?
Well, first of all, I want to be very clear. We never asked any woman why she wanted an abortion. Mm. That was her business. But, you know, the women who came to us were from all walks of life, from all races, from all economic and class backgrounds. You know, that's changed because in 1970, New York legalized abortion and women could, for around $300, including airfare, fly from Chicago to New York, get an abortion, get on a plane, and fly back home the same day. So that really changed our demographics, as a, you know, to use that phrase.
Because it'd be women who couldn't afford that flight.
There were very poor women who couldn't even come up with that. There were very young women. There were women in relationships that made it impossible for them to be gone even for a day. Domestic violence situations, but we didn't have that terminology back then. So it was the most desperate were left in Chicago, and they had to be pretty desperate to turn to a group of women they didn't know and were maybe very, very different from them.
Well, and weren't men, which, you know, many came in and said, wait, where's the doctor? And it was you and the other women in the Jane Seven, as you were called, who were ultimately raided by police, indicted by a grand jury, and only didn't have to go to trial because the Supreme Court legalized abortion in 1973 before that could happen. It's quite a story. And I just wonder, how are you feeling now? There's a great possibility of Roe v. Wade being overturned.
Well, it's very depressing. You know, I'm 50 years older than I was back then. And to have to go through this all over again is very disconcerting and shows, I think, around the country, a real lack of respect for women and the decisions women make. And I've been thinking lately that some of this is really backlash also. for the growing strength of women's voices in our culture.
Would you, and I don't know if you are in touch with other of the women who are in the Jane group, but would you consider reforming?
Well, we're old ladies now. You know, we were, in terms of the ages, ranged from 19 to in their probably, I'm just guessing here, late 40s. So this is really what the question is, what are young women going to do now? A lot of us, you know, are, a lot of us are dead already.
Well, what do you say, Laura Kaplan, to those who are looking forward to Roe v. Wade being overturned? And their argument is that it's the life of the child that is the most valuable thing in this equation. They're arguing that the rights of the child supersede the rights of the women, and they're very much pushing for this. What would you say to them?
Well, we're not talking about children, first of all. We're talking about potential life. So that's one thing. The other piece of it is, whose moral sense is going to win the day? I think it just shows an utter disrespect for women, and women will do what they feel they have to do, regardless of what the laws are. And so we will see once again wards and hospitals full of women suffering from consequences of illegal abortions or complications. But, you know, we and the other groups around the country who, at least we all started the same, but we were determined to help women navigate an unsavory and unknowable underground in order to be able to do what they felt they needed to do.
Well, we also spoke to an African-American woman, a Democrat, who is against abortion because she equates it with the genocide of African-Americans.
This is what some of the radical Black voices were saying in the 60s. As well, and certainly we can't deny the kind of abuses that women of color faced, you know, sterilizations and, you know, without their consent and all kinds of horrible things. Nonetheless, you know, in the later days, I would say 70 to 80% of the women who came to us were women of color. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make any kind of moral bullshit, I think, about abortion because everything changes when it's your daughter or your wife, and people's attitudes change. I mean, you should talk to people at abortion clinics about the numbers of protesters who sneak into the clinics to get abortions for themselves or their daughters or their friend. Mm. Because everything changes when you're faced with this decision. It is a very, very moral issue. It's just there's different moralities. I believe that my position and the position of those of us who strongly support women being able to make decisions for themselves and how they will live their lives is a highly moral position.
And what do you say to people who say this is a different time than the 60s? There is birth control available, widely available. There is no need for abortion because there shouldn't be any unwanted pregnancies.
Well, you could say should all you want, but there are. I mean, I got involved in the group because a friend of mine's IUD failed. These things happen. The basis I go back to is, do you respect women and the choices that women feel they have to make? And if you don't respect women, then you can make any laws you want to, but it won't stop people from doing what they feel they have to do.
By the way, what happened to your friend?
She found her way to Jane, and that's how I found my way to Jane. Oh. And we both joined the group.
That's Laura Kaplan, former member of the Abortion Counseling Service of Women's Liberation in Chicago in the 60s, better known as Jane. Her book is The Story of Jane. Laura, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And Laura Kaplan spoke to Robin Young in 2019.